Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Chaf Beis. We left off on daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. We are up to Tanya, I think, in the first wide line, third line from the end of the page. Tanya. So it says in Mar Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Amar Lo Yaskir Adam Sadeu Lekuti Mipnei Shenikreis Al Shmo. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says a person should not rent his field out to a Kuti because the field is always going to be called by your name. And everyone's going to see that it's Goldberg's field that the Kuti is working on. So yesterday we made a chilek. Yesterday we said that when it comes to a Merchatz, you're not supposed to rent out your Merchatz to a guy because it's going to be called Goldberg's Merchatz, and everyone's going to see that the Merchatz is running on Shabbos, and it's going to look like you hired someone to run your Merchatz on Shabbos. But when it comes to a field, we had a svara that when people look at it, they're going to say, Arisa, Arisuse Ka'avid, that you hired a sharecropper like everybody else hires sharecroppers, and the sharecropper is doing his own business on Shabbos, meaning the deal with the sharecropper is he works the field however he sees fit, and then you get a certain percentage of the value of the crop. You split the percentage of the profits from what he works on the field. But he's clearly not being told by you to work on the field on Shabbos, and everyone's going to realize that. So now the Braisa is saying that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, even a field you shouldn't rent to a kuti, because that field is always going to be known by your name. And the kuti zeh osa b'malacha b'chalo shel moed. And the problem is that the kuti is going to be doing malacha on the field on chalo moed. Forget Shabbos, you're right. It's not going to be a problem because a kuti, it doesn't do malacha on Shabbos. But chalo moed, he's going to be doing malacha, and everyone's going to see that Goldberg's field is being worked on chalo moed. They're going to assume that a Jew had asked, that the Jewish owner had sent the kuti as a shliach to work in the field on chalo moed. Aval ovid kochave mai shari. But what would be the halacha if you hired an ovid kochave to work in the field? That's going to be mutter. Why? Because we assume that anyone who's watching is going to make the assumption that the Ovid Kochavim is nothing but an Aris. He's not a Shaliach of the Jew. He's an Aris, and therefore it's no problem. He's just a sharecropper. In fact, the Gemara, if they'll assume that about the Ovid Kochavim who's working in the field, Kutinami Amri Arisa Arisusei Ovid. Why wouldn't they assume the same thing about the Kuti, that they'll see the Kuti working in the field on Chalamoid? Why won't they assume about him as well that he's just an artist? Answers the Gemara, Arisus the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Lesle. No, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar doesn't hold of this idea that when someone sees somebody working in the Jewish field on Shabbos, Yantav Chalamoid, that they're going to assume he's an artist. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar does not think they're going to assume he's an artist. If he doesn't think that people are going to assume he's Naris, Ela Ovid Kochavim, my time of Mutter. Why is it Mutter then to rent out the field to an Ovid Kochavim? After all, if people are not going to assume he's an Aris, when they see the Ovid Kochavim working there on Shabbos, aren't they going to assume that that Ovid Kochavim was a Shaliach of the Jew? So answers the Gemara, Da Arminan Levit Sayis. Because when you rent the field to an Ovid Kochavim, you could include as a stipulation in the rental agreement that he's not allowed to work on Shabbos, Vitsayis, and he'll listen to you. You can assume that he'll be respectful of our religion, he'll understand that your reputation is at stake, that if the field is being worked on Shabbos, it's going to look bad for you, and he'll listen to you. So asks the Gemara, Kuti Nami Amrina Levit Sayas. Well, if you're worried about the Kuti working in the field on Chol HaMoed, why don't we just say the same thing? Tell him that he's not allowed to, and we'll assume that he'll listen. So the Gemara answer is very interesting. Kuti lo tzayis, damar anag amir natfei minach. A kuti is not going to listen, because the kuti will always say to himself, you know about Judaism more than I do. I know as much about Judaism as you do. I know even more about Judaism than you do. I'm more enlightened than you are about what Judaism really wants. So you're going to tell me that a Jew can't do this? What do you mean? I'm a Jew and I do this. So you can't trust that he's going to do this. A lot of times in the people who work in kashrus will tell you that when you have a non-Jew working in the kitchen, he's typically much more trustworthy than a non-religious Jew. Because a non-religious Jew will say, I'm a Jew. I know what being Jewish is all about. I know what all the laws are, and he doesn't obviously. But a non-Jew is more respectful. He knows that he doesn't know. One of the most dangerous things to have is someone who doesn't know what he doesn't know, and that's the difference between a kuti and an ovid kochavim. Ihachi my irya mipneishen nikreis al shemo tepekle mishum lifnei iver lositein mechshol. So ask the Gemara, why did we say you're not allowed to rent out your field to a kuti? Why did Rabbi Shimon Elazar say it's because the field is called by your name, and when people see him working in the field on Chol HaMoed, they're going to assume that you sent him to work there in Chol HaMoed. But isn't there a more fundamental issue? Namely, that it's Lifnei Iver. That when you're giving him this field, when you're letting him rent this field, you're causing him you're allowed, giving him the opportunity to work on your Nechala Moed. So you're causing him to do an Aveira. So isn't it Lifnei Iver? After all, the Kuti is a Jew, and you're causing this Jew to violate Lifnei Iver. So, So first of all, what you see that from the fact that that it asks this question, you see that we're assuming that kutim are gerei emesein. Tosus points out on Dibur Maschel Tepuklei Alib Reb Shimon Elazar Parach to Islay Kutim Gerei Emesein Parakam Duchulin. This kash is on Reb Shimon Ben Elazar, who happens to hold kutim are gerei emes. The kutim are in fact Jews. So Machlokas in the first parak of Maseches Chulin. Gabei Hidra Reb Shimon the Shadrei LeRamei LeMizban Chamra Mi Bei Kutai. That he would sell wine from a Bei Kutai, from Kutin. Oh, we'll get to the second part of Tosfos in a second. So first, what's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara asks, isn't it Lifnei Iver? So answers the Gemara, Chad V'yot Ka'amar. What the Brisa means to say is that it's a double iser. When you go and you rent your field to a Kuti, you're in violation of one plus another one. Chad Mishum Lifnei Iver. First of all, you have the obvious violation of Lifnei Iver, that you're enabling him to work on Chalamo. Plus, you have the problem that it's Nikres al Shemo, that the field is always going to be called by your name, and that's going to look bad for you. So now we look at Tosos. Tosos says, Mikan Yesh Lahavi Raya, Lamasha Pirish Rabbeinu Tam, the Shaykh Lamemer Lifnei Iver, Af Bemidi, Delaspe Yisura El Adrabanan. Says Rabbeinu Tam, a big Chiddush. From our Gemara, from the fact that, what's our case? You're giving the Kuti the ability to work on Chalamoed. Is that an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan? So Tosfos assumes this is Davar Pashut. Melacha on Chalamoed is only an Issa D'Rabbanan. So from here we see that it's Shaykh to say, Lifnei Iver, even when all you're causing him to do is an Issa D'Rabbanan. Now one might have thought Lifnei Iver is only when you're causing the person to do an Issa D'Oraisa. But when you cause him to do an Issa D'Rabbanan, it's not Lifnei Iver. Over here you see that even though you're only causing him to do a D'Rabbanan, it's still Lifnei Iver. Because we know that Lifnei Iver is only, or it says on the side of Chagiga, we know that Lifnei Iver is only an Isser, that Melachan Chalamoed is only an Isser Drabanan, as Rabbeinu Tam holds in Maseches Chagiga. If you look a few lines further, Aval Harav Rabbeinu Elchanan Hikshel Lepirish Rabbeinu Tam, Shepirish to Melachan Chalamoed Ein Asur Min HaTorah, but Rabbeinu Elchanan asks on Rabbeinu Tam, how can you say that Melachan Chalamoed is only Aser Midrabanan and not Minatorah Midam Perak Misha Hafach, from the fact that the Gemara says in Maseches Moed Katan, Pasach Ba'avel V'siyem B'Chalamoed, the Gemara says, why do we start with Hilchas Avelos and then continue into Hilchas Chalamoed? Lomi Bayi Kamer, what it means to say is, Lomi Bayi Mei Evlo Da'asr D'Rabanan, not only during Avelos, which Avelos doing work is only Asr Midrabanan, Ella Afilu Chalamoed Da'asr Da'oraisa. But even Chalamoed, which is Asr D'Oraisa. So what do you see? So you see clearly from that Gemara that Melachas Chalamoed is D'Oraisa. So what's Rabbeinu Tam's big raya? Rabbeinu Tam tries to prove from here, Lifnei Iver is Shayach even on a D'Rabbanan, because Melachas Chalamoed is only D'Rabbanan. But Ferish Gemara might cut in your Aleph that Melachas Chalamoed is D'Oraisa. Ferish Rabbeinu Tam, the Karile D'Oraisa, Lefishi Yeshla Asmachta Min HaTorah, Beperikama D'Chagiga, Lafuke Ovel She'in Lo Asmachta Ela Midivrei Kabbalah, D'Chsiv Afachti Chageichem Lo Ovel. Very interesting. Rabbeinu Tam would defend himself by saying that there's what's called D'Oraisa, and then there's a relative D'Oraisa. Melachas Chalamoed is not Da'oraisa, but relative to Hilchas Avelus, it's more Da'oraisa than Hilchas Avelus. What do you mean, more Da'oraisa, less Da'oraisa? Hilchas Avelus is purely Drabanan, and there's not even a pasuk in the Torah that we make an asmachta to be able to derive Hilchas Avelus. V'afachti chagechem lo'avel is a pasuk midivrei Kabbalah, it's a pasuk in Nach, it's not a pasuk in the Torah. But Melachas Chalamoed is Drabanan with an asmachta from the Torah, and that's more of a Da'oraisa than Hilchas Avelus. But really, it's only Midrabanan. Now, that idea that there are different levels, that there's something that's a higher level Drabanan and lower level Drabanan, this is expressed very clearly by the Prima Gadim in his Psicha Kalelas. He goes through all the different levels of Da'oraisas and Drabanans. Within Dinim Da'oraisa, you have levels also. There are Dinim Da'oraisa that are Mefurish Bekra, that are explicit in the Pasuk. Then below that, you have Dinim Da'oraisa said that are derived from the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar and Dreshes Ben, which aren't quite as powerful as Dinim Daraisa that are Mefurish Bakra. So within the world of Darabanan, we also have different levels. You have Dinim Darabanan that have an Asmachta. Now this is assuming a certain power to Asmachta. It's a major machlokas Rishonim, what Asmachta really means. The Rambam writes that Asmachta doesn't really mean all that much. It's just a simple way to remember Din Rabbanan, that when the Rabbanan came up with a mnemonic from the words in the Torah, how to remember, because everyone knew the Pesukim of the Torah by heart, so it's an easy way to remember certain Din Rabbanan by remembering certain words in the Torah. But it's not really what the Torah had any kavana to say whatsoever. The Torah never meant to express any sort of Din Rabbanan. But the Ritva in Masechet Rosh Hashanah says that that's not so. He says that that Asmachta shows you just the depth of the Torah. That in addition to all the Dinim Daraisa that we're able to derive from the Torah and the Yud Gimel Midah Shatar and Dreshes Ben, there are certain hints to what the Rabbanan were supposed to do in later generations within the words of the Torah. And that's what Asmachta is. Asmachta was the cue that the Torah was giving the Rabbanan to make a din. According to the Ritva's understanding, you understand very well what Tosfos is saying, that when a din the Rabbanan has an Asmachta, there's a Torah element to it, because the Torah sort of gave the cue to the Rabbanan to make that din. So that's, according to the Rambam, probably wouldn't agree with this Tosfos, that an Asmachta is any really all that different than a din the Rabbanan that doesn't have an asmachta. Inami Tosos answers, Chalamoid Yishlo Ikr min HaTorah Dikel Migzer Atu Yamtov. Okay, another possibility that Chalamoid, at least, even though it's purely Drabanan, it's more Da'oraisa than Avelus, because why did they make an Isra of Melachan Chalamoid? As a Gezerah, lest you come to violate Melachan Yantif. And Melachan Yantif is Da'oraisa, so at least its starting point is a Din Da'oraisa. This is a major distinction we have between Gezeros versus Takanos. Typically, Gezeros relate to an existing din daraisa, and where it goes, we make a siyag that we don't want you to come to violate the daraisa, so we add a din to rabbanan. Sometimes you just have something that has nothing to do with the daraisa. It's just a takana that the rabbanan saw fit. So you have a takana to light ner Chanukah. Nothing to do with the din daraisa. So Tosfos has a similar chilik between two different Isurim Dirabanan, that one Isur Dirabanan of Chalamoid is to protect you from an Isur Daraisa of Melachan Yantif, whereas Hilchas Avelus is several Isurim Dirabanan, several Hanhagos that we have to do Midirabanan, but it's not really related to any Daraisa. There is, Tosfos is assuming, of course, that there's no Avelus Daraisa. Many Rishonim hold Avelus Yom Rishon is Daraisa, the first day of Avelus Daraisa. Tosfos is assuming must be that only Aninus is Daraisa, but that Avelus is not Daraisa. Yeah.
Because then you can see that he's working on
Tukuti.
Why wouldn't it pick something much more related to a field, which is obviously the Daraisa, which is obviously everything everybody would see, which is the truest, maestros,
lekkah? Because the Kuti observed the Daraisas that were explicit. The Kuti observed everything that was explicit in the Torah. In fact, he was more Zahir in those than the regular Jew is. The Cholamoid, it doesn't say it in the Torah, so he's not going to observe Hilchos Cholamoid. Right? That's the idea of picking Kuti for that. Now, this idea that Lifnei Iver is only Shaykh is even Shaykh to a Din Derabanan, Tosfos tries to prove Lifnei Iver is only Shaykh to a Din Derabanan, is clear in the Ramah. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simon Kuf Samach Gimel Sif Beis writes that you're not allowed to give food to someone who didn't do Netilas Yadayim, because it's Lifnei Iver. Netilas Yadayim is clearly only a Derabanan. You give him food, he didn't do Netilas Yadayim, he's violating only Derabanan. Yet we see that we clearly apply Lifnei Iver to a Din Derabanan. The Ramban, however, disagrees with Tosfos. The Ramban writes that Lifnei Iver would only apply to Yisrim Daraisa and not to Yisrim Darabanan. Where do we see that in the Ramban? Because in the Chidushei Ramban, he proves from our Gemara that Melechas Cholamoid must be Daraisa. From the fact that our Gemara says by causing someone or enabling someone to work in the field in Cholamoid, it's Lifnei Iver, must be that Melechas Cholamoid is Din Daraisa. So obviously the Ramban holds Lifnei Iver is only Shaykh on Dinim Daraisa, on Yisrim Daraisa. It's not going to be Shaykh on Yisrim Darabanan. There's a famous comment of the Tshuvas Pnei Yeshua. The Tshuvas Pnei Yeshua, which is written by the grandfather of the Pnei Yeshua, in Chelek Aleph Choshemishpat Simin Tes, writes, he's medayik from a Rashba, really, that when someone violates Lifnei Iver on an Isur Darabanan, if I cause somebody else to do an Isur Darabanan, what did I violate? Did I violate Lifnei Iver Midaraisa or Lifnei Iver Midarabanan? the avera that the person did was only midrabanan. So my in violation of the fnevri midarais or the fnevri midrabanan. So on the one hand, you would want to say, well, it's only midrabanan because the avera he did is only midrabanan. On the other hand, says the tshuva of Yeshua, not so, because the issue of the fnevri is to be machshil somebody else. I caused somebody else to do an avera. End of the day, I caused him to do an avera. So that it fits the definition of lifnei iver on a darais level. Minchas chinuch in the comments of Mincha Mitzvah Reish Lamed Beis says even more strongly. Lifnei iver means two things. It means to give a person the ability to do an iser. It also means to be masio etzara, to give a person bad advice. So he says it's low. Granted, let's say from a Torah perspective, causing someone to do an iser drabanan is not causing someone to do an iser because the Torah doesn't recognize Yisurim Drabanan, let's say. But it's lo gara meitzara, it's at least that I gave him bad advice. You could at least agree that it's bad advice. So that's what the Minchas Chinuch says, that it's got to be that it's a violation of Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa to cause a person to violate an Issa D'Rabbanan. The Svara on the other side of this would be that no, that you can't make a secondary Isser more chamer than the Iker Isser. If the Iker Isser is only Drabanan, how can the person who caused the Iker Isser be in violation of an Isser Daraisa? The lundus of the Machloka seems to be, how do you view Lifnei Iver? Is Lifnei Iver an independent Isser? Or is Lifnei Iver an Isser within each and every mitzvah, each and every avera? That Lifnei Iver, when I violate, meaning when I violate, when I cause someone to do an Isser Shabbos, did I violate an Isser Lifnei Iver? Or did I violate an Isser Shabbos? That it's a little bit of an Isser Shabbos. So if you can say that it's like Lifnei Iver is that the Torah is mechadish to me, that I have a chelek in the other person's avera. So if that's the case, then if the other person's avera is only midrabanan, then my chelek is only going to be midrabanan. Then my yisur is only going to be midrabanan. Tshuvas Bnei Yeshua clearly does not understand that way, though. He clearly understands that it's an independent yisur, and therefore I'm in violation of midah oraisa. In the Tshuvas Minchas Elazar, Chelek Dalet Simin Yud Aleph, he's bothered by this chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch that I'm in violation of Lifnei Iver D'Oraisa when I cause someone to violate an Issur D'Rabbanan. And he says, you know, there's a well-known nesivus in Siman Reish Lamed Daled where the nesivus distinguishes between Issurim D'Rabbanan and Issurim D'Oraisa in the following way. We know that the Gemara Nedarim tells us that the difference between a neder and a dava is that one is an Issur Gavra and one is an Issur Cheftza. Harei a lie makes something an Issur Gavra. Harei zu makes it an Issur on the Cheftza. But that's all about the Nedarim and the Davos. What about Kala Torah Kula, the Nesivus wants to know? What about every other din in the Torah? Are they Yisurei Gavra or are they Yisurei Cheftza? So the Nesivus wants to taina that every Yisur D'Oraisa is an Yisur Cheftza. Every Yisur D'Oraisa is inherent in the item itself. I can't eat Chazer, not because I'm not allowed to eat Chazer, but because Chazer itself is treif. Chazer itself is not kosher. It's a behemah tameya. But when it comes to Yisurim Drabanan, it's not an Yisur in the Cheftza. The Rabbanan don't have the ability to change the whole Bria and imbue certain items with characteristics of Isser. What the Rabbanan do have the right to do is tell me what to do. They can make an Isser on the Gavra. They could tell me not to eat something. So says the Nesivus, based on that, if someone violates an Isser Drabanan Bishogeg, the whole Isser Drabanan is only an Isser on the Gavra. What is that Isser on the Gavra that you shouldn't rebel against what the Chachamim say? Well, if I did it Bishogeg, I didn't rebel against what anybody said. It was totally Bishogeg. So the Nesivus argues that if someone does an Isser Drabanan Bishogeg, he is not in need of Kapara. He didn't really do anything wrong. He's not in need of Kapara because he didn't do anything that's actually us. So the whole Isser was not to rebel against the rabbis, and he didn't do it. If he violates an Isser Drabanan, Raisa B'shogeg, he did something inherently bad. Yeid Chazer, you still ate Chazer, even though you weren't trying to rebel, because the Isser isn't rebelling against the rabbis, the Isser is eating Chazer. So you ate the Chazer. But by Nisid Rabbanan, you don't need Kapara. So says Minchas Lazar, so if I'm Machshil somebody in an Isser Drabbanan, it shouldn't be Lifnei Iver at all. Because the person has no idea that he's violating an Isser. He's assuming I'm machshel someone to do a Bishogeg. The person has no idea he's violating an Isser. He's totally Bishogeg. It's an Isser Drabanan. He doesn't need Kapara. Mela, I don't have Lifnei Iver. Rav Shechter used to say that there were some kashrus agencies that relied on this. They would allow Yisurim Drabanan in the food because the people who are buying the food would never imagine in their wildest dreams that they're Yisurim Drabanan in the food, so they're purely Bishogeg. And the Rav Amachshel says they're doing it Bishogeg, so I'm not over Lifnei Iver. That was their svara with a chap, a lundus like that. But it's obviously, you can't do that. That's obviously aser. Okay. There is also another chiddush. The Magen Avraham in Siman Kuf Samach Tesiv Katan Vav writes in the name of the Bach that when there's no Isser B'Shas Maisa, there's also no Isser of Lifnei Iver. Meaning, if the Averu would be done right now, if that would not be Aser, if it wouldn't be part of the Isser, then it wouldn't be a problem of Lifnei Iver. So the Chuvus Ma'ari Asad asks from our Gemara, because what does our Gemara say? You're not allowed to rent a field to a guy because it's Nikres Al Shemo. And what? And then he's going to use it on Shabbos, and everyone's going to see Goldberg's field is being used on Shabbos, right? And the Gemara says that would be, and then the Gemara says, but in addition to that, you also have a Lifnei Iver problem that he's going to use it on Shabbos. So you're enabling him to use the field on Shabbos, but you're renting him the field on Tuesday. So if he works the field on Tuesday, it's not Lifnei Iver, so he's not violating Avera. So you see that even though at the moment that you're renting the field, the Avera doesn't exist, still it's called Lifnei Iver, against this Bach that's quoted by the Magen Avraham. The Bach wanted a Taina that no, only if the Isser could exist at that moment is it going to be Lifnei Iver. But if the Isser can only come into play later on, then it's not going to be a problem of Lifnei Iver. So to defend the Bach, the Achronim have two basic Mahalchim. The Chuvus Marsham, Chel Beisim Tzadi Gimel, defends the Bach by saying that no, you have to understand the way Schirus works is that each day is viewed as a new Schirus. If you rent something for a week, so if you each day has a brand new schirus. So the schirus of Shabbos is going to be a problem of Lifnei Iver. It's not the schirus of Tuesday that's a problem. Or else, another possible answer, that when you rent something, if you can't be mevatel the schirus, then it's considered as if you're maskir on Shabbos. If you're unable to be mevatel the schirus before Shabbos, so then we're going to view that as if you were maskir the item on Shabbos itself. Fine. Says the Gemara of Vayter, we are about 7 lines in on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Hanu Marikai David Kochavim Naket B'Shabata V'Yisrael B'Chad B'Shabata. So there was a Marikai, Rashi says, Zore Ginos Karkum, the people who planted certain gardens that the Ovid Kochavim would be Naket B'Shabata, would work on it on Shabbos, and to plant it, to plow it, to do all the Avodah Sakarka, V'Yisrael B'Chad B'Shabata. And the way they split it was that the guy would work there on Shabbos, the Jew would work there on Sunday. So they went to Rav and they wanted to know if such a split is halachically viable. So Sharilahu, Rav said that's absolutely permissible. There's no problem with that, with doing such a split. Eishvi Ravina L'Rava. So Ravina asked Rava from the following: Yisrael va'ovid kochavim shekiblu sada b'shutfus. If Yisrael and an ovid kochavim receive a field in a partnership, they're partners in a field. Lo yomar Yisrael lovid kochavim. The Jew should not tell the ovid kochavim tol chel kochav b'shabbos v'ani b'chol. You take your portion of the field on Shabbos, and I'll take my corresponding portion on chol on a weekday. Because that makes it that's like you're making the guy your shliach for Shabbos, that you're splitting the field, you're splitting whatever the field produces, and you're telling him to do your half of the work on Shabbos. So that's no good. But if they made the Tanai originally before they ever the field ever came into their control, then it's going to be mutter. But now this line v'imbo l'cheshbon aser. So Rashi points out, Lava hisnu mechilakai. This is not going on a case where they made the Tanai originally. Ela milsaban peinafshihi. This is its own statement. Kolomar. Im kiblu stam, va'asu stam. They were just mekabel a field without expressing exactly how they're doing anything. And they just worked on the field. Va'ayelovid chavim b'shabbos, and the guy happened to have gone there on Shabbos. V'yisrael b'chol, and the Jew happened to have worked there on chol. V'lotzi vahu Yisrael. And the Jew never told him when to go in the field. He never told him you have to go there on Shabbos so that because I'm not allowed to go there on Shabbos and I'll do on Chol. Ubo l'cheshbon li'achas man lomar kami yimei Shabbos natalta v'aniyat tol kenegdon yimei achol. And it's only afterwards that they're trying to split the profits, and he says, okay, you worked on Shabbos, I worked on Sunday, corresponding to that. And when they cheshbon out how much each person gets from the partnership, so it's only later that they make the cheshbon, still it's going to be aser because they're explicitly expressing in that cheshbon that 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 I'm getting paid on the weekday, corresponding to what you did on Shabbos. So that was the kasha on Rava. Rava, how can you say that when these two people received the work on the field, that the guy works on Shabbos and the Jew works on Sunday, and that's totally okay? Don't you see explicitly in this brisa that it's not okay? So ichsif. So Rava was embarrassed because they asked a kasha on him that he didn't have an answer to. So he was embarrassed. So says the Gemara, the sofi glay milsa the history. But then later on, they realized that the case that was brought in front of Rava was actually a case where they made a Tanai Meikara, and the Brisa actually said that that was okay. That if they made a Tanai Meikara, then the guy can work on Shabbos and the Jew on Sunday. So Rav Gavia mi Beikasil Amar, Hanu Shasili Da'arla, Hava Ovid Kachavim Achil Shnei Da'arla, Vishal Shnei Da'ateira. That there were these Arla trees that the Ovid Kachavim would enjoy the benefits of those trees during the Arla years, and the Jew would enjoy the benefits of those trees, the fruits of those trees, during the Heter years. I mean, the halacha is a new tree that's planted, the first 3 years, any fruit that it produces the first 3 years, which typically would be a very minimal amount of fruit anyway, but any fruit that it produces the first 3 years has a din of Arla, and is absolutely usher for a Jew. So if the way that he split it with the guy was that the guy gets to enjoy the Arla years, and the Jew gets to enjoy the following years, so they came to Rava, so they came to Rava. They asked Rava if that arrangement is permissible. Sharuluhu. So they, Rava said it's absolutely mutter. There's nothing wrong with that. It's heter gamer, because even though they were makabel the tree together, and the Jews said to the non-Jew, you work it for the first 3 years, and I'll work for the next 3 years after that, that's not an isra of shlichus, because a Jew is allowed to work an arla tree. It's only an isra of achila of the Arla tree. There's no issue to work the Arla tree. And if you're worried about the Achila, that the Jew is eating corresponding to what the guy ate during the 3 years, and therefore it turns out he's getting Hana from the Peros of Arla, so that's not called Hana, says Rashi. And then Rashi says in the second wide line, Shekena Mishpat Shana Shazeo Veit Hu Ochel. Because no, that's just an outgrowth of who's working there. The halacha is, or the law of the land is, that whoever happens to be working the land gets to eat the fruits. So if I happen to be working the land in the non-Arla years, so I get to eat the fruits. It's not because he's working the land in the early years that I get to eat the fruits in the non-early years. No, he's working the land in the early years. That's why he eats the fruits of the early years. I'm working the land in the non-early years. That's why I eat the fruits of the non-early years. So that's why Rava thought it was permissible. Frankly, Gemara va osfei Ravina l'Rava, but didn't Ravina already ask it to Yufta and Rava? Right, so what's the tiyufta? Rashi points out that the kasha the Gemara is asking is v'im kein mai tiyufta gabe Shabbos isur shlichus b'malacha masha ein kein ba'arla. So why is it a tiyufta on Shabbos and not by a case of arla? So answers the Gemara l'siyue siya'e, that no, really Ravina was bringing a raya to Rava. How is he bringing a raya to Rava? Back in Rashi, midiktani hisnu l'chachila mutter, from the fact that they said that if you make the tanai from the first place, that it's going to be mutter alma kileka isur shlichus to malacha. Shari. Sounds like if you were able to come up with a case where there's no isser of causing the guy, of making the guy your shliach to do the malacha, then it's going to be mutter. So on Shabbos, when the guy is doing malacha and he's considered your shliach to do the malacha, that would be problematic. But by Arla, there is no isser malacha. There's no isser malacha on an Arla tree. So even though we may view it as if he's doing your shlichus by doing the malacha during the first 3 years, that's fine. You could do the malacha during the first 3 years. There's no isser. So Ravina was really just bringing a raya to Rava from the Arla case. I fracked the Gemara, but if he was just bringing a raya, vaha ichsif, but doesn't it say that Rava got embarrassed, and how could it be that Rava got embarrassed if he was just trying to support Rava? And says the Gemara, yeah, lahoy dvar me'olam, that part of the story never happened. That was just some later addition to the story that's not really true. Rava never really got embarrassed. Ravina never tried to prove Rava wrong. He just tried to bring a raya to Rava. Okay, the Gilyon HaShas just gives a whole bunch of examples in Shas where you find such a thing happen, where we tell the story, and we include several details in the story, and then the Gemara says, we got the story a little bit wrong. One of those details is just Lahadam, Lahoy Dvar Me'olam, never happened, never was. Iba Yiluhu. So, frankly, Gemara, what about the following case? Stama Mai. What if they're makabel the field stam? The people, the Jew and non-Jew, are makabel the field and stam. The Ovid Kochavim works on Shabbos. The Jew works on Sunday. The Jew never says to the Ovid Kochavim, "You take the Shabbos wages and I'll take the weekday wages." So can they just stam split all? What do? They split everything equally. They just happen. The field gets worked, let's say, 6 days a week. Let's say neither of them works on Friday, right? So the guy works on Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. And the Jew works. And the Jew works Sunday, Monday. Well, how does it work? The guy works right Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Neither one works on Wednesday. Let's say the guy works Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. The Jew works Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So at the end, and they never say anything that you work on Shabbos and therefore I'll work on Sunday. It's just the way it happens to work without anything ever being stated. And then they come to split, and they split it 50-50. So is that okay? Nothing was ever expressed. So what's the halacha? Tashema, so he said, let's bring a raya from the brisa we quoted before. We said, im histo mitchila mutter, that if they made a tanai originally, then it's going to be mutter. What does that imply? Hastama aser, that if they never made a tanai, but it was just done bestam, then it's going to be aser, that only if they explicitly make a tanai originally beforehand, only then it's going to be mutter. I affect the Gemara, but then you can make the opposite to you. Ema seifa, the seifa goes on and says, imbo ul cheshbon aser, that if they go and they make a cheshbon later on, okay, you worked on Shabbos and therefore I'm going to get paid on Sunday for what you did on Shabbos and you get, right? And they make such a cheshbon, that's when it's going to be aser. Hastama mutter. So that implies that if it was just stam and nothing was ever stated, it's going to be mutter. So bottom line is, we can't prove anything from the brisa. So the Gemara leaves it as an unanswered question what the halacha would be if it was stam, if it was never explicitly stated one way or the other. Now, if you look at Tosos, lo yomar Yisrael lovid kuchavim, right? The brisa had said that a Jew cannot tell the non-Jew, you work on Shabbos, I'll work on Sunday. So Tosos quotes a story that happened during the times of Rabbeinu Tam. He says, Maisa kachaya bimei Rabbeinu Tam, shegava Yisrael echad b'chovo, Tanur echad me ovid kochavim vahayla laofa amasaka tanur chelko betanur. That one time a non-Jew owed a Jew money, and the Jew collected for his payment an oven from the ovid kochavim. Now the problem is the ovid kochavim didn't own the oven completely on his own. He also had a non-Jewish baker who worked for him, who had a portion of the oven, who owned a portion of the oven. Vahayla liyehudi litol kach v'kach yamin bechelko lofa kamokin kach v'kach. So now the Jew had to split the oven with the baker. Vlo hisnu mitchil. They never made a tanai originally. That you'll take your chelik on Shabbos to the guy, and the Jew will take his chelik on a weekday. And the re wanted a taina to mutter. That's mutter, even though that's the exact case in our brisa of a field. It's aser by a field. He wanted to say by an oven. It's mutter. Why? The lo dami l'sada. The hacha gave sada chelik haYisrael mashbiach af bechol b'masha ovid kham torech bo b'Shabbos. Every little bit of work that the guy does in the field on Shabbos makes the field a better field, and therefore, when the Jew uses it on Sunday, he's using a better field because of what the guy did to it on Shabbos. But an oven's an oven. You leave the oven empty on Shabbos, it's going to be the same oven on Sunday as if you used the oven all Shabbos. Rabbeinu Tam did not agree with this distinction. He did not agree with this psak of the Ri. Rabbeinu Tam said, no, absolutely not. You cannot distinguish in any way between a field and an oven. Granted, it's not getting better. The oven isn't improving by being worked on Shabbos, but that's not the point. The point is, it's ki'ilu, you hired a worker to work on it on Shabbos, and that's not okay. And then, just to take it one step further, Tos points out, even more, not only can you not distinguish between the oven and the field in the way that the Ri wanted to distinguish by being more makel with the oven, but v'nir la'rav Rabbeinu Elchanan, de'betan rafilu hisna mitchila lo yo'il, kiven shakala tanur shal Yisraelu, that by the case of the oven, even if they made this tonight originally, it wouldn't help, because the oven really belonged to the Jew now. It's just that there's a baker that was entitled to the rights, since he's the one that bakes in it all the time, he was entitled to the rights. rights of what it produces on some days. And that's really like you're renting out, it's not even like you're splitting it. That's like you're renting out the oven that you own on Shabbos. It's as if the Jew made a deal. Look, if you bake my bread during the week, then I'll let you use that oven for yourself and I'll rent it out to you on Shabbos. And your payment is, the payment that you're going to pay me is by breaking my bread during the week. And that's much worse than taking the field b'shutvus where the Ovid Chavim is a chelek b'guf ha-karka. And then Tosa says, even the Ri was chozer bo. Even the Ri changed his mind and was finally moda that you can't be more makel by the Tanur than you would be by the Sada. Okay, Hadr Lach Lefnei Day, and that's the first parak of Masechta Avodah Zarah. Says the Mishnah, second parak, Ein Mabidin Behemu B'Pundako Shel Ovid Chavim. You're not allowed to leave an animal to sleep over to in the care of an Ovid Chavim. Mipnei Shechashudin Al Ravia, because the Ovid Chavim were suspected of bestiality. And a woman should not be biyichud with an Ovid Kachavim, because we're always choshed the Ovid Kachavim for our rayos, that they're gonna try to sleep with the woman. And even a man shouldn't have yichud with an Ovid Kachavim, because we're afraid that he's going to try to murder you. That they're all choshed on shvichas damim. Tosos on the bottom over here, very similar to Tosos on the bottom of yesterday's Amud Aleph, tells us where we discussed renting homes to Ovdei Chachavim, and tells us, asked, well, we do it all the time. Tells us on the bottom over here says, how can you say that we can't leave our animals with Ovdei Chachavim? We do it all the time. He says, "Tiny b'gemara, ein mosim beim l'rosh alam v'yeshli tintam al ma anu samchun liyachid beim asinu imayim v'afanu mosim beim asinu l'rosh alahem." We give our animals to Ovdei Kochavim, shepherds, all the time. So Tosfos is bothered by this. So Tosfos says in the third line, "Amar Rabbeinu Tam de samchina nahadim shani rab didas b'gemara demukim asin sekarablasu dechayish l'ruvia ubrais d'lochem beim l'karban d'lochayish l'ruvia karabanan." We have to assume that our Mishnah is going like a Das Yachid, that we're actually Choshish for Raviyah. But there is a sheet of the Rabbanan that disagrees with our Mishnah that says that we're not Choshish for Raviyah. And maybe that's what we're Paskin like. We don't Paskin like this Mishnah. And that's what we're Somichan when we leave our animals with Ovdei Kochavim shepherds. Says the Gemara Raminhi, we'll ask a steer against our Mishnah, Lochan men behem el karban. The Braisa says that you're allowed to buy an animal if you want a karban. You're allowed to buy an animal for the use of a karban from an Ovid Kochavim, and you don't have to worry that the animal was Roveya the Ovid Kochavim, nor that it was Nirva by the Ovid Kochavim, meaning that it was engaging in any act of bestiality, whether the from the male side or the female side. You also don't have to worry that it was set aside to be used for Avodah Zarah, nor do you have to worry that Neva, that it was actually used for Avodah Zarah. So ask the Gemara, Bishlam, Muktza v'Nevad. I understand very well Muktza and Nevad, Avodah Zarah related issues. You don't have to assume that the animal that you're buying from the Ovid Kochavim was set aside for that purpose, because im isa da aktia v'im isa da palche lava mazben lay. Because if the non-Jew, if the Ovid Kochavim had in fact set it aside for Avodah Zarah, or worse yet, actually worshipped it, well then he would never sell it to you. He wouldn't sell you as Avodah Zarah. Ela Roveya v'Nirva Leichush, but why aren't we worried about a Roveya v'Nirva, that the animal was engaged in bestiality with the Ovid Chochavim? Doesn't this Braisa therefore tell you that there's no concern of bestiality, that we're not worried that they're committing such acts? So Rav Tachlif, Rav Shila bar Avinu, Mishmei D'Rav, Ovid Chochavim chasal behemto shelo te'aker. No, all it tells you is that the Ovid Kochavim is not committing such acts with his own animal, because he's worried that if he's Roveya, his own animal, that it's going to cause the animal to become to become unable to have children. And the animal is, you know, the significant part of the value of the animal is the ability to produce more animals. So the Ovid Kochavim is not going to mess around with his own animal. But you give him your animal to watch over for a few days, then you do have to worry. It's only his own animal that he's not worried about. So it says Gemara, Hatenach Nekevos, Zecharim Ayikal Meimar. That makes sense for the female animals. But what would be the problem with the Zecharim? Zecharim can't have babies anyway. So why aren't we concerned that the Ovid Chavim is going to be engaged in Raviyah with the Zecharim animals? Amravkana hol machishin bebasar. No, because it weakens even the male animals, and he doesn't want to weaken his own animals. Ella hadetanya lochin behema meroesh alahen leichus dilma ravala roesh ravala. That which we say in the Braisa that you're allowed to buy a behema from their shepherds, why aren't we worried that maybe Ravallah, that maybe the shepherd was Roveya the animal? So the Gemara says, well, shepherd is different. The shepherd is afraid that if he gets caught, he's not going to make his money. You're not going to pay him for doing his job. So that's why he's not going to mess around with the animal. But we said, you're not allowed to even give your animal to the shepherd. Why don't we say that the same concern, that we're afraid that why don't we say the same svara, why there's no reason to be concerned, that you should be allowed to give your animal to an Ovid Kochavim shepherd, and you don't have to worry about bestiality, because after all, he wants to get paid, and he's afraid he's not going to get paid if he messes around with the animal. So it says, Gemara, inu diadi ba'adadi mirtasi. They who know about each other, right, who are very familiar with each other, and who they're all chashud on Raviyah, so they're going to be afraid of each other, and the roa is going to be afraid about messing around with his fellow Ovid Kochavim's animal, because he knows that the fellow Ovid Kochavim is onto him. But he thinks that a Jew is not going to suspect him of such a horrible act, and therefore he's going to feel much safer to do such acts with the Jewish animal, with the Jew's animal, because he thinks the Jew is never going to be onto him. People know people who are like them, and they're onto all the tricks of people who are like them. People who are troublemakers in high school sometimes make very good teachers, because they know all the tricks. They know exactly what the kids would be up to. So then we should have a halacha that you shouldn't be able to buy male animals from female Ovdei Kochavim, because we should be concerned that maybe the female of Ovedas Kochavim slept with the male animal, and that's not good, because there's no concern of she's not worried about the male animal not being able to give birth. The male animal can't give birth anyway, nor does she have to worry about the male animal's flesh becoming weaker as a result of it, because that's only when the animal was nirva. But if the animal plays the male role in the bia, then the animal is not going to become weaker. So we should be concerned when it comes to buying a male animal from a female of Ovedes Kochavim. And it says, Gemara, kivan de megiri ba mirtasa. If a woman sleeps with a male animal, the male animal is going to follow her around constantly, and it's going to become obvious that she had done something. So she's afraid to do something like that, because it's going to look very bad for her. Elahad tani Rav Yosef, armalta lo tarbi kalba, v'lo tishri bar beirav bu'ushbiza, that an almana shouldn't raise a dog in her house, and she shouldn't host a yeshiva student in her house. Bishlam bar beirav. Rav Tzaniela. I understand very well the Barbe Rav. It's because it's a very hidden thing, and she's not going to be afraid he's going to keep a secret. She's not going to be afraid that he's going to let it be known if he sleeps with her. El Kalba, even the Migraba Mirtasa. But by the dog, what are we concerned with the dog? If the dog is going to follow her around if he sleeps with her, then she should be afraid. Answers Gemara, no. Even the Chishad Yalei Umtso Misra Chabasra Meimer Amriinshi Haidu Misra Chabasra Mishum Umtso the Kama. Since the dog would follow her around even if she just threw him a piece of red meat, right? If she gave him some food. So when people see the dog following her around, their first thought is not going to be, oh, she must have committed bestiality. They'll think, oh, she probably fed the dog. So that's what they're going to assume. So frankly, Martin, the cable says on the cable, my time, alo miachdinan. Why can't we have allowed the Ovedas Kochavim to have yichud with Nikevos, with Nikeva animals? What could they possibly do? Because very often, Ovdei Kochavim are sleeping with their friends' wives. And upam she'eno motza, so sometimes the Ovdei Kochavim will come to his friend's wife to sleep with her, and she's not going to be around. Umotzias abehema, but the animal's right there, and he came, so verova, so he'll sleep with the animal. So that's going to be the concern, that a male friend may have come and slept with that animal. Others say, even if she is around, still rova, the guy will still sleep with the animal. Because some of the Kochavim are so messed up that they would prefer to sleep with an animal owned by a Jew rather than sleep with their own wives, with their own Ovedes Kochavim wives. So that's why it's a concern. You can't even buy a female animal from the... You can't even leave your female animal by the female Ovedes Kochavim. Because when the Nachash came to Chava, he put Zuama, he put some impurity in her. So frankly, Mari Hachi Yisrael Nami, well, we all descend from Chava. All women descend from Chava. So we we should have that same zuama. And so Gemara, no, Yisrael shamdu al har Sinai pasku zuamasan. Of the chavim shalamdu al har Sinai lo pasku zuamasan. Jews who went through the har Sinai experience lost that zuama. But of the chavim who never went through the har Sinai experience never lost that sense of zuama. Okay, we'll pick up tomorrow a few lines from the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Beis.